The long howl of a wolf rolls over me like a toothache. Higher up, shots ring out, the echoes stretching away till they're not quite heard, but more remembered. There's nobody on this strip of mountain now but me and Ida and my grandson, Willem. While I love the boy more than life, Ida's a hole in another sock. She lives in the tar paper shack in back of our place, and in spite of this being the coldest winter recorded in Kentucky, she's standing out there now, wrapped in a blanket, quoting scripture and swearing like a lumberjack. Her white hair's ratted up like a wild woman's. I'm Ida's child. That makes her my ma'am, and my pap was Tate Harker. I wish he were here instead of buried by the outhouse. Whoever's shooting the wolves is trespassing. I'll be out with the boy for a while, I tell Ida. I've brought her a boiled egg, bread and butter, a wedge of apple wrapped in cloth, and a mug of hot tea. She follows me inside and sits on her cot. Ida's face is yellowed from years of smoke, her lips gone thin, and her neck is like a turkey's waddle. Although there's a clean nightgown folded on a crate by her bed, she hasn't gotten out of this one for almost 3 weeks. Pap once told me that when he first met Ida, she was pretty and full of fire. She rode her donkey all over creation, preaching streets of gold over the short road to hell. She still calls daily on the Lord to deliver her from drunkards and thieves and the likes of me. Last summer, she sent off for Bibles in 7 languages, then never opened the boxes. It's dark in Ida's shack and thick with liniment and old age smells. Maybe it's the sagging cartons still unpacked, although my Saul moved her here 12 years ago. Then he died, too. I can't eat apples with these false teeth, she says. Willem saved it for you. Pleases you, don't it? Me stuck in this pigsty while you and the boy live like royalty. Royalty is a cold water kitchen behind the grocery store. Willem sleeps in an alcove next to the wood stove. I take the bedroom. Here in the cabin, I've tried to better Ida's life, bring a table, hang a curtain, but she says no, she'll be crossing soon. I'll be out with the boy for a while, I repeat. I'll ask God to forgive your sins, Olivia. Ida's not the only thing that sets my teeth on edge. I worry about the way folks come for groceries but have no money. Most of the time they take what they need. Willem and I write everything down and they pay as they can, sometimes in yams or yellow onions, a setting hen when the debt gets too high. If Pap was here, he'd tell me everything was going to be all right. Hurry up if you're going with me, I tell Willem. Damn fool's errand. I put on my big wool cape and mittens. I have Saul's rifle. Willem brings the toboggan from the barn. He's wearing a pair of old boots and so many shirts that he looks like a pile of laundry. I can barely make out his dark gray eyes through the round holes in his wool cap. I know what he's thinking, just like Pap used to. Some injured thing might need his care. I'll be 42 next year, too old and thick-legged to plow uphill through snow that makes my hips ache. I should be home in my kitchen warming beans from last night's supper. Behind me, Willem pulls the toboggan by its rope. We haven't gone far before my fingers are froze, my toes are numb, and I realize I've misjudged the light. Where the snow lay smooth and clean, we stop to get our breath. It's darker up here among the alders and pine. I set the lantern on the toboggan, strike a match, and lay the flame to the wick. Below, to the left, lights blink on in aurora, and a car or two winks along in the slush. Another shot, Willem says. Gran? I hate it when he looks to me like that. like I can fix every damn thing in Pope County. Willem, this winter they'll starve to death anyway. But I don't mean that, and he knows it. Shortly, the hunters will go home to their dining rooms where they'll drink rye whiskey and eat hot suppers. Past the alder line, the last of the silver-faced wolves are curling up, hungry. They're the only wolves recorded in Kentucky, and tonight a few more are dead. In a clearing, we come upon the two males. Willem stares at the round, dark holes in their flanks. Their right ears are gone. A small gray female has crawled off under the brush, and she lies there, baring her teeth. She's been shot, too, and her ear cut away. The blood has run from the wound, filling her eye and matting her fur. There's no sign of the ears.